The following program is a paid production of Mike Novak, LLC. The opinions, rants, confessions, and lame jokes presented are not necessarily the views of WCPT or its parent corporation, NewsWeb Radio.
We're talking to Mike Novak. He is on WCPT Sunday mornings. You're right. Give him a hand. 9 to 11 a.m. And Mike has a book. It's a riot. Attack of the Killer Asparagus. Mike, what is, aside from the Attack of the Killer Asparagus, you got some great stuff in here. What is this about?
This is, all right, I write a column for Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. I've done it for 11 years. Anybody got a subscription out here to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine? Oh, there's two
people.
All right,
yes.
We've taken the best columns in probably the first 6 years, put them into this book called Attack of the Killer Asparagus. It's actually a humor column. You're not going to learn a lot about gardening. You might by accident, but otherwise, I'm trying to entertain people and get them to be aware of certain ideas, and that's why I did this book.
I love the column, They Died With Their Roots On. That's that's very funny. Mike, thank you very much. Can I buy one of your books?
No, I'm going to give you one.
All right, I appreciate that.
Now, I do want to do one thing, because you've been working these people so hard today. They're working as hard as you are up here, okay?
Well, I don't know.
And early on, you greeted me with a mic. I bet we can get the crowd to do that, don't you think?
Yeah, you do that?
On a count of three. One, two, three.
Mic. Thank you, Mike. That's
my
very
pleasure.
Kind.
Thank
Mike
you, Norm.
Novak, Sunday mornings. 9 to 11 on WCPT in his book, Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch keys throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find.
He's green, so don't make him angry. You wouldn't like him when he's angry. Here he is, Mike Novak. And they pay me for this, folks. Okay.
One more time.
And good morning, everybody, on a Sunday. It's not raining. Isn't that good for a change? We'll find out more about that later on. I'm going to say something right away so we can line up people, because Helen's standing by to take your calls at 773-763-9278. And the reason I say that right now is in the studio for his annual visit is Master Gardener Lori Lewis, former Chicago Gardener of the Year. Of course, Chicago doesn't do that anymore. Gee, I wonder if that had anything to do with a change in administration. And it really does make me unhappy that we don't have a garden competition anymore in the city. You know, because nobody gardens, so why do that? But I guess I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, Lori Lewis is here, and the two of us are going to sit around today, and we're going to talk gardening. For those of you who like the gardening aspect of the show, this you'll be in nirvana, because that's what we're going to do. Going to chat about stuff. We're going to answer questions, try to help you out. 773-763-9278. Helen and Carol are here as well, and you guys keep track of Facebook and Twitter. Let me know if people are asking questions there, and we'll answer whatever we can in a couple of hours.
All right, we're on it.
All right, I played the cut from Norman Goldman at the top of the show. It seems like this week has gone on forever, and in a good way. That was Tuesday at Paisan's in Berwyn. It was a lot of fun. I got to tell you something about Norman Goldman. He is the nicest guy you ever want to meet. Sometimes you don't know what radio people are really like. See, I'm a jerk in person. People tell me that all the time.
That's, you know, I deny it whenever people ask me. No,
but because I pay
no.
you to deny it. That's
no,
why, right?
I'm just kidding. Mike's a great guy.
And Norman was wonderful. He not only had me on the air for a little bit. Wayne Besson was there from I've Got Issues on Saturday afternoons. Norm graciously let me do a little bit on the air with him. And then he let me sit next to him and sign books. He had his book out there, and I had mine, Attack of the Killer Asparagus, and there we were side by side selling books, and that was awfully nice of him to do that, and it was a lot of fun. So I want to thank Norman Goldman for that. And then on Thursday, we went to Women and Children First for the book signing party, the launch party for Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
I was there.
It
was great.
People came up to you and said, "You're the Carol from the radio?"
I know. And I was surprised because I'm like, who knows me? Who recognizes my name? But it was nice because they said, surprisingly, you don't sound like you look. So I'm not sure
you
how to take that.
You get that all the time.
I do get it. But
that is the standard line. You never look like you sound on the radio to people. And with me, you know, you've got my picture up there. So on the website, you can always go there and find out what I look like. Kathleen said that to me about Norman Goldman. He doesn't sound like he looks like, or he doesn't look like what he sounds like.
No, people never do.
Yeah.
And I almost sometimes want to just remember my original thought and not look at their picture, you know? No, you're looking at me like, no, what are you talking about?
No. I'm
sometimes I'd rather have that image.
Yeah,
in my
you know, it's true. Well, I'll give you an example of that is music.
Right.
Every song now has a video. It shows you how old and crotchety I am, okay? But I have never gotten into music videos because when I listen to a song, I have my own video playing in my head, and that's old school. That was always the old school way. And now folks, they hear a song and they immediately go to that video, and you're stuck with that.
I agree I can
hear a song and I have anything I want playing in my head.
I agree and
it's usually a memory, you know, of when you first heard the song and what you were doing. Same way with the radio, I guess, the personality. If you don't really want to know what they look like, don't go to their website. And speaking of my website, MikeNovak.net, I just want to remind folks that we still have the Chicago Recycling Coalition survey on the homepage. If you live in Chicago, please take the survey. We're getting hundreds of people to respond to it, which is really cool. We want to keep it up there for a while and put this together and then see what people think about recycling in Chicago. I mean, I don't know what they actually think. You know, I have my own opinion, as you know. You hear it on my show all the time about how things work or don't work in the city of Chicago. But we're interested at the Chicago Recycling Coalition in hearing from you about what you think. Well, you know, does recycling work? Are you satisfied with it? Are you confused by it? Would you like something better? And go to MikeNovak.net. You can also go to Chicago Recycling. .org, and that will be there as well. So that's it. We're ready to rock and roll here today. Lori Lewis is here, 773-763-9278. Of course, he's also going to talk about the Sheffield Garden Walk and Music Festival. That's the excuse for having him in the studio. Yes?
The 46th annual.
It's, I'm almost as old as that thing. And I was going to say, it's like three times as old as I am. But that wouldn't work either. That's amazing.
That is.
And how long have you been associated with it?
I've been associated since 1995.
Wow.
And it's been an incredible experience to see the growth of what's happened with not only the festival, but with the neighborhood and the beneficiaries of the funds from the festival, which we donate, most of which to these various organizations, the schools, the parks, not only in the Sheffield neighborhood, but outside the neighborhood, other social service agencies in the city of Chicago.
And that is next week. The festival is next Saturday and Sunday. What's at the 19th and 20th. Rick DeMaio weather, 9:45, and I received an email from him. I received a couple of emails from him the other day. The first was to say, hey, rain is on the way. Yeah. Well, it actually last night didn't get as bad as I feared. Yesterday morning was worse in my neighborhood. You say
Same thing, yes.
I was just ready to be bailing from the basement. But it didn't happen, so I was happy. But he wrote to me and said, yeah, rain's on the way, and there's no such – well, he didn't say there's no such thing. He says, I don't want to talk about polar vortex, okay? And I'm going to make him explain what he means by that today, okay? I don't think – he basically said, "It polar vortex doesn't happen in the summer, and I don't think we're going to get as cold as – was predicted earlier.
I don't think there'll be any freeze warning.
There better not be in July. And then in the second hour, Lori continues to stick around. Like I said, we're answering garden questions. We're talking about gardening. We're talking about festivals. And another great festival celebrating its 56th year is the Dearborn Garden Walk. And Greg Hodapp and Woody Olson, who are the chairs on that, are going to be here. And they're going to bring their own chairs. No, actually, we've got chairs for them. And we will talk about that. And it's interesting because they're very different garden walks and very different events.
I call them complimentary festivals.
Yeah.
And people that are interested in gardening, horticulture, will see things totally different in the Gold Coast neighborhood where this occurs as compared to the Sheffield neighborhood, where our event occurs, and
because physically the neighborhoods are very, very different.
That's correct. Physically, we have more yard space in our neighborhood, but they in their neighborhood have some very interesting buildings. They go with a lot of very formal types of landscapes, and it's something that people should really look at. Both festivals.
All right. And all that happens next, 773-763-9278. Get your questions in, and we will answer them the best we can.
In 1979, the American Community Gardening Association was formed in Chicago to provide leadership and advocacy for the community garden movement. Join us August 7th through 10th at the Field Museum as we celebrate the 35th anniversary of ACGA at our annual conference. Thursday, August 7th, starts with a pre-conference at Cam Isaiah Israel, focusing on gleaning and food pantry garden, followed by a farm fresh welcome and networking dinner. Friday is a day full of workshops, roundtables, and keynotes, followed by an epic garden soiree and silent auction at the historic Garfield Park Conservatory. Saturday, we're in for a national networking event, presentations, and an afternoon of tours of some of the most vibrant community gardens the city has to offer. Sunday concludes the conference with a second-story performance of Voices from the Community Garden, highlighting personal experiences of how Chicago community gardens change lives. Don't miss this historic event. Join us August 7th through 10th for the American Community Gardening Association Conference and be part of the vision for the next 35 years. For more information, communitygarden.org.
Hi, this is Ron Calgo from Mighty House. Remember that raffle the Illinois Solar Energy Association did last year where they raffled off a car? You didn't win? That's okay. I didn't either. The ISEA had so much success with the raffle last year that they decided to do it again. But this year, you have a chance to win an all-electric Tesla Model S and a Bosch 240-volt charger for only $100. The Tesla Model S is one sweet ride and was ranked best overall car by Consumer Reports this year. To have a chance to win, go to illinoissolar.org and click on the Tesla Model S link in in the top left-hand corner. You can buy one ticket for $100 or four tickets for $300. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Net proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout Illinois.
Bosch Home EV Charger will be installed for free if the winner is within 50 miles of Chicago. Drawing will take place on October 4th, 2014. There is no limit on the number of tickets that can be purchased. Need not be present to win. If less than 1,500 tickets are sold, then the drawing converts to a 50-50 drawing. Tickets are only valid if sold in the continental U.S. The winner is responsible for all taxes, title, and destination charges. See the rules and regulations page at IllinoisSolar.org for more details.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
In the Green Room with Mike is brought to you by Christy Weber Farm and Garden at CWFNG.com. Let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
Sky, my back to the wall, my white flag high. Hey, lips just like a gun. She's got silver bullets on that tongue. He's deep under her spell. I'm screaming now, but it just won't help. I think I'm cursed. I had it first. Adeline, have mercy. Who do you want to break my heart? Take what's mine. Don't hurt me. Steal my money and steal my car. Don't take my man. Don't take my.
There you go. That's one of the great acts that's going to be at the Sheffield Garden Walk and Music Festival next Saturday and Sunday. And Carol, our music expert in studio today.
Yeah, that is ZZ Ward. She's rocking out with Put the Gun Down. I'm telling
like, hey, she's ZZ Ward, rock it out with Put the Gun Down.
She is. I love her. I recognize that song, but I didn't know who she was, and now you're playing all her music, and I'm her best fan now. She's great. She's great. Don't you think?
Her new best fan is right here in the studio.
Yeah.
And where's that list of, where's the poster? We've got a poster we posted on, oh, there it is, up top here. On Facebook and Twitter.
Yep, those are up already.
The 46th Annual Sheffield Garden Walk. The main stage is going to feature workout music at on 6 p.m. on Saturday. This is Saturday, I assume, and that's Sunday? Okay. And then Miko at 7:20 p.m. ZZ Ward at 8:45. This is Saturday. And then they also have a new Fullerton stage.
Yes, we've expanded and added a second stage. Which is on Sheffield, just south of Fullerton. And we have a lot of exciting acts on that stage. The music will actually be going simultaneously with the music on the main stage.
They're not going to cancel each other out.
But because of the proximity of the speakers and everything, you won't have any problems.
So you can drift from one stage to the other.
Absolutely. And enjoy some cool beverages and great food.
On the Fullerton stage, Saturday at 12:15, Hello Weekend, 2:15, The Personnel. They're doing two sets. 6:10 is Afro Zep, and then 8 p.m., Trippin' Billy's. On Sunday, main stage, 6:30 p.m. is The Samples, and 8:30 p.m., The Freddie Jones Band. On the Fullerton stage, they've got at 12:15 Crush on Radio, at 2:15 Your Villain, My Hero, two sets, 6:10 Cat Fight, and at 8 p.m. Wedding Band, B-A-N-N-E-D. I like that, Wedding Band.
And there's one other thing that's really, I think, interesting that we've added this year. We've added the Chicago Craft Beer Festival, which is a festival within the festival. And then
you need to put a festival within the craft beer festival, so you'd have like those Russian dolls. And
exactly, exactly. The American Craft Beer Festival, which will run from noon to 4 p.m. both Saturday and Sunday, will allow people for $40, they will be able to sample 15 3-ounce tastes from over 90 different beers.
Wow.
And that's going to be just spectacular. It's the first time we've ever done that, and you can get tickets for that either at the door or online, SheffieldGardenWalk.com.
There you go. SheffieldGardenWalk.com. Now, so that's some of that stuff, but come on. It's 9:15. We're in the green room. We got to talk some gardening because Lori, I've known Lori for a long time. He knows his stuff. And I always like to geek out with you and talk about different things happening in the garden. And one of the things that's happening this year, you talked about it off air before we went on the show this morning, is your move toward native plants.
Absolutely. My garden.
Which is spectacular. And you can, you know where Lori lives because you see the garden out front, and you go, oh, somebody really good lives there. And it's just fabulous because your garden is in your backyard, which is a tiny, it's even smaller than my yard. But your front yard is spectacular and right on the street.
What my wife and I have done this year, we've decided to convert the garden to an all-native wildlife habitat type garden. And some of the key considerations that you need or will help you achieve this are food, shelter, and water. And I have a year-round pond in the back. So this past winter, for example, I kept the pond running. And with everything frozen, the number of different birds that we had in the backyard drinking the water was incredible.
It must have been, yes.
And we have shelter in terms of certain conifers that allow birds to hide from predators and so forth, and as well as food, not only with the nectar in the different native types of flowers, but we also provided during the winter when everything was covered in 20 feet of snow, we provided food for them. And of course, in the springtime when things melted, the birds are more into protein than they are to seeds. And protein, of course, comes from bugs and so forth. So if you have plants that attract bugs,
And natives do because they attract native insects, yes.
Then the birds are happy.
Wow.
So we've got many, many different birds other than your normal.
Are they? Do you think there's a holdover from the winter when they came to the pond?
I think so. There is. I think, you know, when you find a place that you're happy with food and water.
I go back. Yeah.
You might go back.
You know, my favorite diner or whatever.
But you know, we're just one garden. For example, on my block alone, just in the front yards, I counted 19 Japanese maples.
Okay. And he's not saying that in a good way, folks.
No. Japanese maple is a very attractive plant. There's no question about
sure.
it. That's why people use it.
But
it has no wildlife value for any of our native wildlife. You know, birds,
yeah.
bugs, butterflies. Do you know I planted Asclepsia tuberosa, or butterfly weed, and I saw a monarch butterfly the other day laid its eggs.
Were you watching it lay its eggs? Or
I saw the monarch butterfly.
I mean, that's kind of an invasion of privacy, isn't it?
I was staring out at the garden, and all of a sudden this monarch butterfly, which of course are far and few between these days, land on the butterfly weed plant. And then I noticed these after a while, and they hadn't gone. I noticed the specks there, and
it's
amazing.
Really, yeah, it's cool. We've got some milkweed in towards the alley in our backyard, and it's amazing how fast that spreads, and I love it. This week, I saw my second monarch. I've seen two this season, both in my backyard. We were outside. I was coming back into the yard. I had been out on an errand, and I'm coming into the yard, and Kathleen was there, and our little cat, La Gata, meaning the cat, was in the yard. That's her name, La Gata. And so when we're out there, we bring her out, and she likes to hang out in the yard, and we like to watch her because we don't want her pouncing on birds and things like that. So I'm walking across the yard, and I go, oh, look, Kathleen, my second monarch of the season. And it flies by La Gata, and La Gata leaps up in the air, grabs the monarch, and lands down with the monarch, and I grabbed her. I said, "Get off of that monarch!" And I just threw her off of the monarch, and the monarch went and flew way high into the sky and said, "I'm out of here." I was like, "Oh my gosh, Legata, you can't do that because I have a reputation here for protecting wildlife. You can't do this." So that was my, so it's the second monarch of the season is still alive. Thank goodness. But that's great that you found the eggs
on the butterfly weed.
That's yep. wonderful. Yeah, I planted butterfly weed this year too. We were talking about getting native plants, and I had somebody write to me or call me, talk to me about this recently about how it seems to be actually a little harder for the average gardener to find natives because there don't seem to be as many in retail. Most of the places that sell them do it wholesale. Now, one of the great places is Possibility Place in Moni with Connor and Tristan and Kelsey Shaw. They had the big plant sales in May in Lake County and in Will County. Excuse me. And I bought a bunch of plants that because I'm doing what you're doing. I'm slowly getting rid of some of the non-natives in my yard. Here's a plant I really love. Sweet woodruff. Okay. I imagine you've grown it.
Yes, I have.
And it's really pretty. It's a shade plant with little white flowers. The leaves are whorled and they look lovely, but it can be a thug. It creates this dense mat that pretty much nothing else can grow through, except maybe a bulb, can go through it. But it was crowding out my Monarda. And I went, no. You're not, no. I'm not losing my Monarda or bee balm to some folks. So I've started ripping out the sweet woodruff. I said, okay, no, I got to put something else in there. And I put in a bunch of natives in the area. So what kind have you put in?
Well, there's an interesting native ground cover called Sedum ternatum.
Gesundheit.
That can actually grow in the shade. And you try and find this at a typical garden center, and they won't know what you're talking about. But it is, in fact, a native sedum. It is a ground cover. It has...
I didn't even know we had native sedums. I imagine we do.
It only grows about 2 or 3 inches high, but it has a grayish blue foliage with a small white flower, in the late spring, and it spreads very slowly. It's not a thug, and I've used it in many, many difficult sites where other ground covers, even Pachysandra, wouldn't grow, and this stuff is growing great.
And you know, there's a native Pachysandra.
Yes, I do.
Allegheny, what do they call it?
Allegheny spurge.
Yeah. And I've grown that, and I like it. It's not glossy. The leaves are a little darker and matte as opposed to the Pachysandra that everybody wants to plant. But it grows in clumps, and it seems to be very, very hardy.
Yeah, it's what's available at many, many places.
You can't find it. If you wanted to grow Allegheny spurge, I'm betting you couldn't find it in Chicago right now.
Probably not.
Yeah. Maybe somebody knows. 773-763-9278. And the other thing I want to remind people of is something I posted on Facebook the other day. If you've got a garden walk, because this seems to be garden walk season, or an event or a farmer's market that you want to plug, give me a call and we'll do it on the show. Now, for instance, I got a notice from the Mount Greenwood Garden Walk and Perennial Sale, which is going on today. For more information, you can go to mtgreenwoodgardenclub.com or on Facebook. And it is from 10 to 4. So in about 28 minutes, it's going to start. 3715 West 111th. And The walk is full of new and exciting gardens and presentations. They do have presentations and sale, their perennial sale. I hope they have some natives there. That would be nice. But as you say, It can be. What are you hearing? Something in your heads? Yeah. I don't know what it was. Yeah, I was hearing voices there myself. A female. I think it's the NSA is tapping our phones here, probably. So the Mount Greenwood Garden Walk and Perennial Sale happens today from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Again, go to mountgreenwoodgardenclub.com. And if anybody else has any that they want to talk about, give me a holler or shoot me a note on Facebook or Twitter. And speaking of Twitter, I've got several tweets here. Zan tweeted, we were talking about monarchs, Lori. And by the way, Lori Lewis is here in the studio with me from the Sheffield Garden Walk. Zan says she saw about 20 monarchs in her backyard yesterday. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised, too. Haven't seen that many in one place in years. Oh, interesting. All right. Natural Awakening Chicago posted, loving the natives talk. Please post a plant list with Latin names. We should track down one of those. Maybe I don't have one off the top of my head, but one of the places you can go is Possibility Place. They have a great list on their website, possibilityplace.com, and look up the natives that they sell. And it's a huge list. It's not all natives because there's just so many out there, but they have a great list of natives. We have a question that came in from Dave Coulter, who says, is this rain helping our raspberries and native blackberries? Seems to be a bumper crop. And I would say, yeah. I mean,
it's helping the corn crop. I know we're supposed to have a record corn crop this year, according to USDA. But absolutely. The rain, if you have well-drained soil.
Yes, which is the caveat.
Which is the caveat. The rain with the thunderstorms brings a lot of nutrients, specifically nitrogen, to the soil. And the rainwater is just fabulous. But it's got to be accompanied by some seasonably warm weather, not weather in the 50s.
Polar vortex.
Yeah. But I noticed there's been a delay in a lot of blooms of a lot of plants because of our cold winter and spring.
I have to ask you a question. All right. Are you familiar with Cornus mass?
Yes.
Cornelian cherry dogwood. I have one in my yard. And this year, and I'm wondering if it's because of the winter, the leaves are very much smaller than they have been in past years. And I'm wondering, and, you know, it was really delayed coming out of dormancy this spring. Mm-hmm. And when it did, usually I can't see the branches. I can see them this year. And I hope it's the plant is in decline. I'm hoping it's just a hangover from the winter. Any idea?
I really have not seen that, Mike, in other plants, especially spring blooming plants. What's interesting, I've noticed magnolias, which are always susceptible to really bad winters and so forth, had some very good blooms this year.
I think it's because it was so delayed. They waited and waited and waited, and finally they bloomed at a time when they weren't going to get zapped by a frost or a freeze. That would be my. Yeah. But you're right. Lots of things came out very, very slowly this year. As you're taking out your non-natives, and did you do it all in one fell swoop, or are you
actually? I've done it over the course of a year and a half. And I probably have, at this point, probably 75% native plants. I had a 12-year-old Japanese maple, which I took out.
Just
took it out.
Good for you.
And it was in my front yard, and I put in a river birch. And people are going to say, well, a river birch is going to get to be 60 feet and overpower your front yard. And I said, well, that may be in 40 years or 35 years, and it's highly unlikely I will be there 35 years from now. But
leave it to the next guy.
But if you, some people that have read Doug Tallamy's book, And I think he's been on the show.
Yes, he has several times.
A birch tree is one of the highest populated trees for native insects, along with oak trees, as far as native plants. And it's a very attractive tree as far as its bark and foliage, winter interest, and so forth. So it's a totally different types of tree than you would typically see in the Lincoln Park, Lakeview area.
And that's good to do if you can take out. I'm actually torn. I've got a ginkgo in the backyard that I was thinking of taking out because you could consider it a native, but that was a couple of million years ago, and not lately, not in the last few 100,000 years. And putting in something native, but the problem with it, ginkgos are such hardy trees. They do really well in the city. They're good city trees.
It's a great plant. It's got great fall color. It's impervious to any insects and so forth. It's a great tree. But you have to say to yourself, is there something better out there or just simply different that may have there's a lot of native trees that flower. You know, there's various, Cornus Florida, there's Cornus Moss, as you had, as you said.
Which are dogwoods.
Dogwoods. A lot of flowering dogwoods. But that's a consideration. You have to say, what are you really looking for besides just an attractive plant? Do you want to really work with sustaining wildlife?
And I'm so glad to hear you say that, because that is something that I have become more and more aware of. And as I do my own gardening, I'm thinking, what critters are benefiting from this? And as you referenced Doug Tallamy and how he points to that. And I think everybody should be looking at that. And part of the problem is, and we mentioned earlier, and going to a nursery, a garden center, and trying to find the natives. You know, you can, and I see that Helen posted on Twitter the link to Possibility Place. We should do that on Facebook too, Carol. Get their plant list up there. And if anybody else has a good native plant list, post it on my Facebook page, The Mike Novak Show, or on Twitter, at Mike Now. We'd love to share whatever we've got. Something that happened to me several years ago, probably a decade ago, went out to California to visit some family. And they said, can you help us plant in our yard? And I said, okay, I don't know a whole lot about zone 8, but let me see what I can do. Dry zone 8. So I did some research on native plants for California, and it was in an area near San Diego. And did all this research and then went to a garden center and couldn't find any of them. And I didn't know the area that well, so it wasn't like I had access to all the places that were going to be able to sell them. And what I realized, they were selling the same stuff that I could get in Chicago. And my realization became that we don't live in Zone 8 or Zone 5. We live in Zone Suburban or Zone Common. You can get marigolds and petunias anywhere in the country because that's what people are used to. Well, we need to get people out of their comfort zone. You want a petunia. I've got the native petunia. Was it Ruus?
Ruella humilis.
Ruella, rather.
Yep, Ruella humilis.
I've got that growing in my yard, and it grows in dry shade. And you'd never have to worry about it.
Nice purple lavender flower.
Lovely little.
Yes.
Yeah. A great plant. I bought several of those when I went to the plant sale at Will County. And there are other things you can do, but you have to be able to find them. And that's the difficulty, as we said. So the garden centers need to get out of that. But everybody gets in a comfort zone. You know, they're comfortable selling the same old, same old. This is what people want to buy. Let me ask you a question about impatience. I assume you're not much of an impatience fan.
No, I'm
fan.
Not. I have a lot of patience, but I don't do impatience.
Right. People are going to have to go to a different palate there because of downy mildew.
Yes.
And patients all over the country are being affected by downy mildew. And once you get it, you're going to have it for a while in your soil. So folks are being told not to buy them. And in certain garden centers have just stopped carrying impatiens.
Yeah, they're very difficult to get now. And the ones that you do get...
The New Guinea.
The New Guinea, which...
is not affected
is
by...
Is not affected at all.
Yeah.
But New Guinea doesn't have the versatility and shade that the old impatiens do.
Yeah, we'll have to. I'll find the Latin name of that. But you know the impatiens we're talking about, the ones with the gaudy colors. And I've always been kind of an impatient snob myself. But folks love them because they get that color, that burst of color in deep shade.
Right, and begonias. There's been a big explosion in begonias. Dragon wing, wax, Rex begonias as an alternative to impatiens.
Yeah. Well, there's coleus.
Coleus. Yeah. Lots of coleus.
Caladium.
Caladium.
Things like that. You can find things for the shade. It doesn't have to be. And now, of course, you can't get them in the big flats. And that's why I can remember I've done yard work for landscapers before. And, they throw 12 flats of impatiens at you and say, but plant those around the tree. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
And then you work as fast as you can because it's really, really boring. That's Laurie Lewis in the studio with me. He is from the Sheffield Garden Walk, which is next Saturday and Sunday in the 10 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We've got Rick DeMaio weather coming up, so stick around and he'll tell us about rain and maybe even something called a polar vortex, but don't say it in front of him because he'll get really, really upset.
In the Green Room.
You dig.
In the Green Room with Mike has been brought to you by Christy Weber Landscapes at ChristyWeber.com, right in your own backyard.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I have exciting news to share. Natural Awakenings, Chicagoland's only monthly magazine dedicated to healthy and green living, is now available throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Natural Awakenings features articles about fitness, local food and drink, healthy kids and families, even healthy pets. We also cover gardening and environment, sustainable building, energy conservation, and green living. We include local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that in each month's issue, you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a new business in your neighborhood, or something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
This is Mike Novak with a message from the Illinois Hydrilla Task Force. Dense mats of aquatic plants at your favorite fishing spot or swimming hole can really get in the way of summer fun. You can help protect Illinois' lakes and streams by keeping a lookout for the aquatic superweed hydrilla. It's already been found in neighboring states and impacted boating, fishing, and water sports. To learn more, go to hydrillahunt.org and report any suspicious aquatic plants you find. Your neighbors and fellow water users will thank you.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Playing the guitar there, Lori?
That was when I was in high school.
Oh, okay. In your garage band, yeah. Right? And who is this, Carol?
This is the great Freddie Jones Band.
Ah.
Yeah. They're headlining on next Sunday.
From the Sheffield Garden Walk, Freddie Jones Band next Sunday at, hold on, I got the time here, at 8:30 p.m. on the main stage. Okay. And I know that the Freddie Jones Band is one of Rick DeMaio's favorites, so let's bring him in so he can listen to some of that music. Ricky D, how are you?
How you doing, Mike? Yeah, Freddie Jones, as we call, isn't it also the some that say Freddie Jones? Freddie Jones? They say that sometimes, Carol, just straight up Freddie.
I think it's just straight up Freddie.
Oh.
I don't know. I'll go with what you say, though.
Yeah, that's right. But, yeah, good stuff all the way around, just like the rain that we had last night.
Oh, man. Now, I'll tell you, I mentioned earlier in the show that I was a little concerned about the rain.
Yeah.
And especially after yesterday morning. Because it came down really good yesterday morning.
And especially after last month.
Yeah. And then I saw the clouds brewing, and it was like being in soup when you're outside last night.
It's been such a humid summer, hasn't it?
So who got hammered last night? Because I did not in the city of Chicago in Logan Square neighborhood. Who did get?
I had just a glass of Chardonnay and a Stella. So I did not get hammered last night.
There's our guy. Thank you, Rick DeMaio.
You know what? I have to say, Mike, I really enjoyed the previous guest that you had. I missed his name again. I always do that.
Lori Lewis?
The gentleman talking about the monarch butterflies.
Yeah. Lori, he's still in the studio here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Hi, Rick.
And, you know, I was riding my bike along the Green Bay Trail all the way from Glencoe down to Wilmette and then eventually into Evanston yesterday. And the amount of native plants along that trail is absolutely fabulous. I really have to tip my hat to both the Winnetka Park District, Glencoe Park District, the Wilmette Park District, and I saw a couple of monarchs along there.
All right.
It was absolutely beautiful, and it was one of those days that, you know, it was cloudy out, but the sun wasn't out, so the humidity wasn't bad. And you kind of work up a really good sweat while you're outside. Am I right about that, Mike? To me, days like yesterday, great gardening days.
The problem is 5 minutes in the garden and your shirt is soaked. You're just completely covered in sweat.
But that's what rolling rocks are for, you know, nice ice cold rolling rocks. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
You know, you take lots of breaks. You set the clock every 15 minutes. You take the beer break.
Or water.
Yeah.
Some of us.
Or water. But with last night's rain, I'm sure the ground was probably, or yesterday morning's rain, as you alluded to earlier, was fairly soaked. And it was kind of interesting because I don't think I've ever heard of them canceling the Taste of Chicago based on rain in the morning.
Well, and you've got a guy here in the studio who, Lori Lewis, you know, who's one of the honchos at the Sheffield Garden Walk, and he sees something like yesterday, and he says, oh, Lord, please, not next Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know if I can go out that far. I can probably scan some maps while I'm talking to you, but, yeah, yesterday was one of those days where, you know, just basically the whole day was just kind of wet or threatening to be wet.
Uh-huh.
And then you have today, which looks gorgeous and is going to stay nice. So if you can get 50% of your weekend in during this summer, you know, you're doing okay. But your earlier question, Mike, was who got hammered? Boy, places like Southern Cook County, some of the COCORAS data, which is the volunteer cooperative reports that come in, daily at 10 a.m. shows 3.57 inches down in Homewood.
Wow.
Nearly 4 inches down around Tinley Park. They're showing 3.8 down there. Orland Park came in with about 3.7. Frank Wachowski, one of the observers, one of the ex-forecasters, rather, with the National Weather Service, down around Burbank, 3.8 inches. Even the near south side of Chicago, which is pretty much, I believe this co-op station is down around South Shore High School, 3 inches. So you're looking at an area roughly about, say, 6 miles north and about 12 miles east-west that had nearly 2.5 to 3.5 inches of rain. And that's the same area, Mike, that has been basically getting the heavier rainfall throughout much of the summer. If you look back at some of these co-op sites since June 1st, you're talking about probably 16 to maybe 17 inches of rain since the 1st of June in this particular region.
How much? Give that to me again.
Oh, between 16 and 17 inches since June 1st across southeast parts of Cook County and northern areas of Will County, without a doubt.
That's basically half of the rain that we normally get in a year.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why the mosquitoes are so doggone terrible. And the mosquitoes were probably more upset yesterday that the Taste of Chicago was canceled because they missed out on their 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 o'clock feeding.
Thank you, Rick DeMaio.
Yeah, well, I gave a lot of hours. I wanted more of the Keith Moon rim shot there, but that's okay.
That's the only one I got here.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay.
And then real quickly, the northern suburbs got literally less than a half inch, or maybe an inch. It was very...
So it all sagged south last night.
Not once, but twice yesterday, then again last night.
Yeah. Well, isn't it true, though, that once you get that rain, the moisture feeds the next system?
You know, it could if it was a very steady state system. In other words, if all you had to worry about or all you were concerned with was, you know, rising vertical columns of air off saturated soil. But this was a very dynamic system. And again, the pattern is not acting like July. It's acting more like June, if not May. And I think I've said this now almost every week on your show, if not every other week. We're about a month behind. July is acting like June acted like May acted like April. And because you keep getting these very dynamic systems moving across the southern tier of Canada, and I know you were alluding to the polar vortex before, which I'll get to in a minute, the dynamics of these systems are such that not only do we have a lot of atmospheric water vapor, but you have a lot of lift that's moving horizontally. So if you think about it, we have not really had a true heavy rain event where everything just basically stays in the same spot for 6 hours and we get 6 to 8 inches of rain. Most of the rain events have been 2 to 3 to 4 inches, but they've been spread out and they've been moving. And that's one of the reasons why we haven't had any catastrophic flooding and we haven't had any really disastrous flooding. Even though we had some, you know, localized flooding yesterday, this has been just basically organized heavy rain that's been spread out over a large area over a long period of time. And I think because of that, everybody's gardens look fantastic. The corn is literally chin high, which I've never seen it this good this early in the season. But consequently, we're paying for it, obviously, with the mosquitoes. So you just get a lot of off, that's all.
You can get some
other things, right?
Cedar side. I like the cedar oil myself because I don't want to mess with DEET. But get to the polar vortex because you sent me an email the other day and you alluded to the idea that you don't really want to hear about polar vortex July.
I think the forecaster who I know real well, his name is Gino Izzi, one of the lead forecasters from the National Weather Service, who's really one of the best forecasters there. He was responsible for putting out all the warnings for tornadoes last week. We had all those scratch tornadoes come through. He gets a little bit, I think, carried away sometimes, and he'll love to put these graphics out that really takes into account what people have been hearing about and thinking about. And when they put that on their graphic, it gets a lot of airtime, so to say. his graphic of the polar vortex actually went all the way from the L.A. Times to the Washington Post to the Capital Weather Gang. To the desk of Louis Uccellini, who is the head of the National Weather Service. And the reason why I know this, I was in there on Wednesday and Thursday conducting a tour, and I go, guys, what's up with the polar vortex? And they all looked at me and they went, that's Gino. And it ended up on the desk of Louis Uccellini. And in a way, it was okay because it made people aware of the fact that this is a very unusual pattern, but Is it a vortex? Yes. Is it from the polar regions? Yes. But does it actually satisfy the meteorological terms of cold air? No. So I think, did he violate some rules? Yes. But did he get the point out that it's going to be cold and unusually cold? Yes. So to some degree, he did his job, and I think he did his job well. Bottom line, though, we may not get out of the 60s. On Tuesday, the atmosphere is going to be so cold that we may actually have a high temperature of about 65 on Tuesday, which will equal the coldest high temperature ever for the 15th of June. And the coldest high was recorded back in 1903. So even though we may not have set an overnight low record, we'll definitely set or at least come close to equaling and getting close to the coldest high temperature ever for the 15th of June. When you think about it, Mike, that's the warmest time of the year. That's very, very odd. And literally what this does is it holds all the moisture into the ground. So the next time you get warm, you get really humid. And that's one of the reasons why we've been so humid is we really haven't had a chance to really dry out.
Interesting. And how cold will we get at night?
You know what? It's going to be very cloudy. This is a very windy system. I think the coldest night is probably not going to be until Thursday morning. Tuesday is when we'll have the coldest temperatures during the day. It should remain overcast Tuesday night into Wednesday. So with cloud cover, we may get down into probably the lower 50s. But I wouldn't be surprised if by Thursday morning, if we clear out, we'll probably see some local areas get down into the low to mid 40s. And probably mid-30s in northern Wisconsin.
Wow.
And one of the things that's probably going to keep us from getting even cooler is the fact that the ground is so wet. Wet ground is really hard to cool up as opposed to dry ground.
All right, you got about 20 seconds.
Sure, no problem. So breezy, still warm today. Temperature's probably a little bit warmer yesterday, probably about 82, 83. Low to mid-70s on Monday, mid-60s on Tuesday, and then probably near 70 for Wednesday and Thursday with much drier air working. And the rest of the week looks really, really nice after we get beyond Tuesday, Mike.
All right, Rick. Great talking to you. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Okay, talk to you, Mike.
Lori, it sounds like you're going to do all right next week.
Keep our fingers crossed, yes.
That's all right. Lori sticks around for the second hour. I hope you do, too. We'll be talking also about the Dearborn Garden Walk.
Good morning, my name is Dennis, and it's now time for your renter's roundup on Mighty House, because for some of us listening, we got these things called landlords. And yeah, they take care of the stuff these guys are talking about. That's all right, Ron.
Hey, you know.
Okay, did you know WCPT's green and gardening guru and my good friend Mike Novak has a book out? He does. And Mike,
thanks, Mike Novak,
and it's funny. Attack of the Killer Asparagus and Other Lessons Not Learned in the Garden is the title. And listen, I don't know anything about gardening, okay? Nothing, but I enjoy this book, all right? But don't just take my word for it. Here's a little note about the book from New York Times bestselling author Amy Stewart. Yeah, oh man, I left the book in the studio. She says it's a darn good book, and she laughed a lot. I knew that was going to happen. I was going to read off the book and didn't even bring it with me. It's a good book. Amy Stewart says so, all right? Me and Amy aren't lying here. And if you'd like a good read and you'd like to help out a good man, go buy Mike Novak's book, Attack of the Killer Asparagus. I'm so embarrassed I forgot to bring that.
Is it on Amazon?
It is on Amazon. Go check it out. And for some of you renters out there, I know what you're thinking. No, it will not teach you how to grow pot, okay?
I must confess, when I wear this dress, I feel like dancing the whole night with you.
It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Not just for the night, but for the rest of my life.
And everybody knows that's Miko, also at the Sheffield Garden Walk and Music Fest next Saturday and Sunday. And right now, Lori Lewis is smiling in the studio because Rick DeMaio gave him a good forecast for next week.
Now I can sleep all week.
You know, but that's a really interesting thing because you have so much going on. It's not just a garden walk because you can see gardens in the rain, but when you've got stage acts and you've got
architectural tours.
Architectural tours and beer and everything there. You spend basically the whole week before, I imagine, just studying weather maps.
Absolutely. I look at weather maps from 7 newspapers covering Chicago. I look at all the suburban newspapers and their weather maps, and then I flip a coin.
And it's, you've told me that the psychology of the whole thing is kind of complex, because you've talked about how crowds react when it's really, really hot and how they react if it's rain. But if it's rain and cool, or if it's rain and hot, or if it's dry and cool, or dry and hot, it's just all kinds of different psychologies involved.
There's no question about it. The most successful garden walk we've ever had was in 2009, and the high temperature was 65 degrees, but it was sunny.
Mm.
And
like what we're going to have on Tuesday, well, Wednesday
yeah,
this
maybe,
week.
Yeah. The worst garden walk we had was 2005, when the heat index was 106, 107 both days, and everyone on all the radio and TV stations are saying, stay indoors, don't go outside.
I remember that one because Chicagoland Gardening magazine had a walk. And
that's exactly right.
It was 104. I remember being out there going in some guy's backyard and with the temperature 104 or something. It's just crazy.
Bill Aldrich, formerly the publisher and owner, was in my backyard. That particular, because my garden was on their garden walk. And he was just sitting there inside the garage with a fan, just sweating.
It's what he does best. But actually, I'm glad you mentioned Bill Aldrich from Chicagoland. He started Chicagoland Gardening magazine. He was the original publisher. And I have dedicated he gets one of the dedications in my book, because he's the guy who hired me to do the columns. And he did it almost sight unseen, which is odd. I wrote one piece. I did one piece that it was actually for, wasn't for the magazine, for something else. And I knew Bill, and I happened to show it to him. I said, hey, take a look at this, see what you think. And a week later, 2 weeks later, he calls and says, you want to do a column? I said, okay. And I can't believe he had, you know, seeing one piece that I wrote, he had such faith in me, and that the result is the Attack of the Killer Asparagus, or as Captain Jean-Luc Picard would say,
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
It is out, and I got to give it a little plug. What the heck? And I know I have. And by the way, that what you heard at the top of the hour was yesterday on Mighty House. Renner's Roundup Dude was going to do the review of the book and left the book in the studio. He was in the booth, so he couldn't read the quote from Amy Stewart. And Amy's been on the program before. She's the author of Wicked Plants, Wicked Bugs, Flower Confidential. She's written a lot of great books. Have you read any of Amy's books?
I have not.
You should. She's an excellent writer and a New York Times best-selling author. And she gave me a really, really nice blurb on the back of the book, Attack of the Killer Asparagus. And though it is available on Amazon, as Renner's Roundup Dude said, I would advise you to go to Around the Block Press, www.aroundtheblockpress.com, and order it there, because that's Kathleen's outfit. Frankly, I make more money than if you go to Amazon. Amazon, they extract their pound of flesh. You know, the truth of the matter is, anywhere you find it is okay with me. And if you have trouble remembering where to go, I'll tell you where to go. No, go to MikeNovak.net. You can always find the information there. Lori Lewis is in the studio with me today. In a little bit, we'll have the folks in from the Dearborn Garden Walk. Lori is with the Sheffield Garden Walk and Music Fest. I was looking at some of the tweets that were coming in. John R. tweeted, polar vortex in July, great weather for me, but it makes tough dealing with AGW deniers, meaning the climate change deniers. But the almost randomness of it is part of that. It all plays into climate change. So it's all part of the same thing. Really, really it is. And again, give us a holler if you got a question about anything in your garden. 773-763-9278. Feel free to post something on Facebook. Feel free to post something on Twitter, and we will do the best we can. You mentioned earlier it was, Lori, that it's been a slow season, and Rick DeMaio alluded to how we seem to be a month behind everything.
There's no question. Many of my plants last season, for example, in 2013, we were very much ahead by 2 or 3 weeks as far as bloom times and growth of plants.
And then in 2012, even ridiculously, we were six weeks ahead of everything.
That's correct.
It was nutty.
This year, some plants didn't even start to come out of the ground until the latter part of May, and so bloom times, I think, are at least 3 or 4 weeks behind schedule for many, many plants this year.
And I have noticed, and I've talked to other people anecdotally, crops like tomatoes and peppers, folks are seeing that there's not a lot going on. I was surprised, actually, somebody showed me a photo of their ripened tomatoes, and I say good for you, because in my yard, in our community garden, it is really slow. There's really not much, and it's not going to be helped by 60 degree temperatures in the middle of the week.
No.
But it's just that's part of the game, isn't it?
That's part of the nature. It's the, you know, you can look in the positive side. Many times you have gardens that are past their prime going into mid-August and late August. This year, they will probably be in their prime at that point. So we don't have to just rely on all the people that put in the chrysanthemums and looking forward to the asters that bloom late in the season. We'll have other plants.
One of my great friends and listeners, Tom Neufeld, posted, he says that last week's episode of Under the Dome, called Infestation, see it on demand, is about millions of monarchs that are now inside the dome and are eating all the crops that, but they, monarchs, they don't eat crops. Monarchs with jaws, right? Anyway, he writes that they're eating all the crops that the people stuck in the dome use for food. Last season, a single monarch showed up and was held in high esteem by the residents. Some beautiful shots of monarchs. Gotta love Stephen King, he writes. Although I think Stephen King has his science wrong there, Tom. Because Laurie's going, what? Looking at me going, monarchs eating crops? How does that happen? I don't know. But, I'm just happy to see monarchs anywhere. It is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. One of the things you mentioned earlier, Lori, that I want to mention also is one of my great sponsors, Christy Weber Landscapes, is involved in the Sheffield Garden Walk.
For the third year in a row, Christy Weber Landscapes and Christy Weber Farm and Garden are sponsoring.
Get another ding for that.
Are sponsoring all of the approximate 77 gardens that we have in the Garden Walk.
Now, I read somewhere that there were 100, but it's more like 77?
More like 77 this year. I think a lot of people didn't feel good about gardening in the spring based on the winter, but we have some very, very nice gardens. And Christy Weber and Christy Weber Farm and Landscapes have done a great job supporting us and the garden exhibitors.
And I want to make sure we get that shout out because she supports a lot of great institutions and events. I went to this very cool Soil in the City conference last week, where all these scientists were geeking out on stuff related to soil contamination and remediation and biosolids and all of that. And she was one of the sponsors behind that too. And I'm going to have her on the show again to talk about her sustainability planting in Millennium Park. She's got corn growing in Millennium Park right now, which is kind of cool. And I saw her post about that the other day, and we're going to talk about putting vegetables in a public venue like that. Apparently, people really like it. They've responded very, very well. Let's get back, because it is a garden walk as well as a music fest. Let's talk about some of those gardens. You say you got 77. Run through some of what folks are likely to see.
Well, it's interesting. Some of the gardens are more formalized in their design, using native and non-native plants and so forth. But what's interesting about the Sheffield neighborhood is that portions of the neighborhood are in historic landmark district. And you have a lot of these Victorian buildings that lend themselves to formal gardens. But you also have many, many gardens with more contemporary homes that are what I call informal English-style gardens or Monet gardens. I know I've been part of the group that has been pushing through publication of the Sheffield Neighborhood News, our newspaper, for people to utilize more or a greater variety of plants in their gardens. And
pushing the natives too?
As well as natives. And yeah. Last year on this show, we had a call-in question that we asked people what we thought was the most common plant in the Lincoln Park area, Lakeview area, and it was, of course, the boxwood. Now, after this past winter, that was probably the most affected plant negatively. But I think people will see a lot of interesting new types of flowering plants. And there are a lot of new cultivars. And I think one of the key things is to go and look at somebody's garden and say, boy, what is that plant? I've never seen it before. Instead of everybody just planting the usual, phlox or black-eyed Susans or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Getting back to the boxwoods, as you say, we've talked about it earlier on this program, that boxwoods took big hits. You mentioned yews off air. Yeah, took big hits. A lot of the evergreens took big hits over the winter because of a combination of things. One, obviously the cold. Two, the salt. A lot of those kinds of plants line sidewalks. They line streets. They're in parkways. And we go nuts with salt. And there's a reason why our roads are a mess, too, with potholes, because the salt works its way in there and it freezes and unfreezes and bam. But it tells you something about the plants you're growing and the conditions under which you grow them. And maybe boxwoods are not such a good choice for you.
You know, I noticed many of the plants that were not affected were things, some of the native dogwoods bloomed very well and flowered this spring, as did many of the native viburnums throughout the neighborhood. Many of the deciduous shrubs were really not affected by this cold weather.
So that is another reason to maybe send you in the direction of natives. I got a tweet from Snappy J Dog, who is the proprietor of Purple Leaf Farms, which is an advertiser on the Mike Novak Show. And she's talking about the cold weather. She says, yep, that's why the CSA started so late. I got my first CSA gift package, I guess, from her this week. And she says, and why you're still getting lots of greens, summer crops are late. And then she writes, but I've got tons of green tomatoes on the vine and peppers and eggplant that are blooming. So we're not far from summer. It's just, again, it's sort of a late start. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're geeking out on gardening today. You're welcome to be part of it. Write to us on Twitter like Snappy J Dog did, or on Facebook, or give us a call at 773-763-9278. It takes more than nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium to optimize plant vigor. Fortunately, Milorganite contains all 13 essential plant nutrients, including secondary nutrients like calcium and micronutrients like iron and zinc. Milorganite's slow-release formula provides its nutrients to your lawn or your garden over an 8 to 10-week period for even growth and better root development. Milorganite's iron is exceptional at delivering a long-lasting green. Unlike iron salts in some synthetic fertilizers, Milorganite's organically complex iron won't stain concrete. Milorganite, for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a garden center near you.
Mosquito bites are painful and itchy, and mosquitoes can carry West Nile virus and other diseases. But there's an effective organic way to kill mosquitoes. Mosquito Dunks are America's favorite organic mosquito killer because they kill mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. The active ingredient in Mosquito Dunks kills mosquito larvae before they become flying, biting, disease-spreading adults. Just float a donut-shaped mosquito dunk in ponds, birdbaths, fountains, rain gutters, or any place where water collects to naturally kill mosquito larvae. Mosquito Dunks are deadly to mosquitoes, but harmless to pets, people, fish, and other wildlife. Each mosquito dunk treats up to 100 square feet of water and will kill mosquito larvae for up to 30 days. So don't let disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Stock up on mosquito dunks. You can find mosquito dunks and mosquito bits at home centers, garden centers, and hardware stores.
In 1979, the American Community Gardening Association was formed in Chicago to provide leadership and advocacy for the community garden movement. Join us August 7th through 10th at the Field Museum as we celebrate the 35th anniversary of ACGA at our annual conference. Thursday, August 7th, starts with a pre-conference at Cam Isaiah Israel, focusing on gleaning and food pantry gardens, followed by a Farm Fresh welcome and networking dinner. Friday is a day full of workshops, roundtables, and keynotes, followed by an epic garden soiree and silent auction at the historic Garfield Park Conservatory. Saturday, we're in for a national networking event, presentations, and an afternoon of tours of some of the most vibrant community gardens the city has to offer. Sunday concludes the conference with a second-story performance of Voices from the Community Garden, highlighting personal experiences of how Chicago community gardens change lives. Don't miss this historic event. Join us August 7th through 10th for the American Community Gardening Association Conference and be part of the vision for the next 35 years. For more information, communitygarden.org.
We're talking here, Carol was listening to the Mosquito Dunks commercial, and, you know, that's a great way to deal with mosquitoes. Get them in their larval stage before they become a pest in your backyard, and you want to know how to talk to your neighbors about this.
Yeah, well, especially, you know, I mean, I don't mind the bird baths. I think they're pretty, and they add to the garden, but if water's just sitting there and your neighbors are helping the mosquito population.
And Lori, you were saying that you have, what is it?
I have a mister in my bird bath, which actually supplies fresh water. It's on a timer, so it's constantly providing fresh water, and which stirs up the existing water, and you don't have a larva problem. My pond, of course, has a waterfall in it, so that's constantly recirculating.
So as long as you have your water moving.
Yeah, but yeah. You don't need to get fancy. You can put a little bubbler in your, that's if you just had a normal pot. But the mosquito dunk is a great way to do it, especially if you don't want to be involved on a daily basis or every other day. But, you know, getting anything to disturb or turn up the water is what's going to work.
I'm going to get the mosquito dunk people on the show to talk about that. It looks like, you know, we're with all the rain we have,
we're on our way
to a record bumper crop of mosquitoes.
What's important is that it's an organic, natural way to do it, because many people are against chemicals of any way, shape, or form in dealing with wildlife. You know, the birds might get poisoned or something like that.
And if you spray, even when a municipality that's spraying, it's going to cause collateral damage. And I did some reading on this the other week that it's possible that it's a reason that we don't see as many fireflies, because they get caught up in that too. They're affected by those chemicals.
Sure, everything does.
There's always
widespread.
When you use pesticides, there's always collateral damage. There is no such thing as a species specific pesticide. It always attacks. They attack groups of insects, and so you can't go to your store and find a pesticide that only affects Japanese beetles. Other beetles are going to be affected by it, and you have to know what you're dealing with. That's why I always say read and follow label directions. Now, have you heard? One other thing we were talking about a second ago was the American Community Gardening, Garden Association, which is having their conference in August. You heard LaManda Joy talking about that. Early bird registration for the event ends on the 15th, so that's in just a couple of days. If you want to sign up for that, go to communitygarden.org. Have you heard of the Three Sisters? No, I'm not talking about Chekhov or the really, really lame TV show Petticoat Junction. However, the spinoff Green Acres was a classic, just saying. No, I'm talking about the July-August issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine that features a story about growing corn, beans, and squash together, a lesson that Europeans learned from the Native Americans. Those three plants are one of the best-known examples of companion planting. In this case, the corn provides a structure for the beans to climb, eliminating the need for poles. The beans provide the nitrogen to the soil that the other plants utilize, and the squash spreads along the ground, blocking the sunlight, helping to prevent establishment of weeds. Neat, huh? Then there's my column on the inside back page of the magazine. Unfortunately, I don't play nice with siblings, so it flies solo with predictable consequences. Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine at locations all over Chicago. Better yet, get a subscription. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
The marrying type. Oh no, we won't buy dishes or stained glass lights. Oh no, for a table we'll never sit at, in a house that we won't ever get. I won't wake up and pick.
And again, ZZ Ward, who will be at the Sheffield Garden Walk and Music Festival next Saturday and Sunday. Well, what did we miss? You've got the architectural tours, we've got kids events, you've got all kinds of stuff.
Lots of new restaurants. We have special garden tours, which are going to be led by a couple of garden specialists and professionals that will talk about in detail design and plant selection techniques for certain gardens, some of which are actually not on the garden walk. And that is all included for the donation amount of $7.
That's the thing that amazes me, is just it's so cheap. I mean, it's inexpensive. Let's put it that way. You know, it's just cool that, you know, for seven and after a certain time, it's $10, right?
That's right. After 3 p.m., it's $10, but you get hours and hours of music. You get opportunities to sample a lot of different beverages. And, of course, the architectural tours, the garden tours, the kids' corner. It's really a whole day of fun for family.
Okay. I had somebody ask on the Twitter machine how mosquito dunks work. And basically, you can go to summitchemical.com, which is the advertiser on the show, and it's a small beige donut which floats on standing water, as they write there. And as it slowly dissolves, it releases a bacterium which is toxic to all species of mosquito larvae. They also have something called mosquito bits. Those are a granule that contains the same active ingredient, which is Bacillus thuringiensis, subspecies Israelensis, or BTI, is what they call it. It's a that's the bacterium that's deadly to mosquito larvae, and you can float it in water troughs, koi ponds, bird baths, rain barrels, pretty much any place where water collects. And I wonder how long that lasts. I don't know if they say that there. But that's the way to get to them. Get to the larvae first before they become mosquitoes. Here we are in the studio. We got a couple more gentlemen who I've been handed another poster here. This one is for the 56th annual Chicago's Dearborn Garden Walk, and it is Sunday, July 20th, next Sunday. From 12 to 5 p.m. And, of course, the theme this year is being green. Being green. In the studio, Greg Hodapp and Woody Olson joining Lori Lewis. All right, I want you guys in your competing garden walks to duke it out now because I know what fighters garden people are. Not going to?
Oh, good morning, and thanks for having us here.
Oh, it's great to have you back.
Yeah, thank you very much.
This is sort of our annual soiree here, where we bring in the garden walk people and talk about it. So, being green, what does that mean for the Dearborn Garden Walk?
Well, of course, every year we do pick a different theme, and that theme is picked up by our vignette designers. Several of the gardens host designer vignettes. So this year they're picking up on the being green. So those vignettes will, be incorporated things like recycled materials.
I'm glad to hear that.
Earth-friendly,
yeah.
Green.
So it's green in the broader sense, basically.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a play on words. Yeah.
We have four designer vignettes this year.
So it's like the sustainability theme.
Explain what a designer vignette is.
Well, of course the gardens are beautiful themselves.
Yes, so, yes they are.
So we're adding another dimension to the garden walk by inviting these designers. So with that green theme, one of the designers' approach to it is farmhouse. So
It's not a real farmhouse in the city. It's an approximation of a farmhouse, right?
For one day on Dearborn Parkway, you're going to find a farmhouse.
It's a whimsical theme.
Yes.
Okay.
So to speak.
We like whimsy on the show. That works for us.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So you've got four of those?
Yes. Yes.
And what are the different? You've got one that's a farmhouse.
One's a farmhouse, and then another one is. Of course, the being green is that title is the song title. The
Kermit the Frog?
Yes, yes.
That's, Kermit the Frog.
I mean, among other...
It's not easy being green.
Exactly.
Right, right.
But one of the designers is going to tell us that it is easy being green. So that's one approach that the designer is taking.
And I think I have a version of it here someplace.
There's a Frank Sinatra
well,
version.
Well, the one I like is... if I can find it, I won't be able to find it. There it is. Van Morrison.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Van Morrison has a really cool version of it. Let me grab that here because I use that sometimes. Boom. And it goes something like this.
It's not easy being green. Having to spend its day in the color of the leaves.
They're very cute.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
I like his version.
Yeah, so our designer, Stephen Gertz, is going to tell us that being green is easier than we would think. So we'll see how he approaches that.
Well, you know, Lori and I were talking earlier about the difference between the garden walks, and they really do complement each other. And you know, in your area, you're a little more space challenged. Many of the gardens are.
Yes.
Well, yes.
So
they're really hidden, private rear gardens,
mm-hmm.
where you can't view them or see them from the street. So you have to enter in through the home or alleys in order to see the gardens.
Yeah.
And of course, it's truly a garden walk where it's a very close in and it's walkable.
And you have music, but it's a different kind of setup.
Yes.
We have our classical music and jazz and performances in the garden.
Yeah.
So several of the gardens will have musicians. They're maybe a violin, cello, bass, and then we even have a interesting. It's of African origin, and the instrument's called mbera. So I wasn't familiar with it until it came to the garden walk.
How do you spell that?
Mbira.
Huh.
And it echoes, so we try to put it into one of the gardens that it really kind of echoes and carries on into the neighboring gardens even.
So I'd never heard this played before. It's really beautiful.
I see it. Okay. Yeah it is. I've seen that and I've heard him played too. It's a thumb piano basically. Yeah. It's also called Lekembe Mbila. Thumb piano, Mbira Huru, Mbira, okay, I can't pronounce any of it. Musical instrument that consists of wooden board with attached staggered metal keys, often fitted into a resonator. In Eastern and Southern Africa, there are many kinds of Mbira, usually accompanied by the Hosho. It was so et cetera, et cetera. Well, cool.
Yeah. So by and one year, one of the gardeners asked if I had something that was sort of African inspired. She felt that was her her theme. But you know, I didn't have it at the time. But this appeared later on.
Occasional. I mean, what's the word? Incidental music or background?
Background.
Or,
yes, yeah. it's more background. Kind of like, it's softer background. A nice violin playing in the background of a beautiful courtyard.
Yeah, not like going to find. Whoops! Accidentally hit that. The Freddie Jones band,
right.
at the Sheffield Garden Walk. I wanted to mention something before I forgot about it, and it actually goes back to you, Lori Lewis, and. You know, some of the plants that people have in their gardens can be really interesting. You were talking about unusual plants. And one of the times I was at the Sheffield Garden Walk, I remember this guy who had an Amorphophallus. You knew where I was going with this, didn't you?
It's still there.
And Amorphophallus is exactly kind of what you think it is. It is a plant that looks like a phallus symbol. And I have one in a pot, but it dies back. It's a bulb, and it dies back in the winter, and then it shoots up in the summer. And I'm never going to get mine to bloom because you really have to keep the thing going. And this guy has put his, because it's very tropical in nature, probably, zone 32. But he has it right outside a window well where he gets the heat.
From the basement, because it's an old building, 1890s building. And, and the heat through the foundation keeps the soil warm enough. And this thing has been growing for years and years.
And he gets it to bloom, right?
And he gets it to bloom.
Mm. And it's like 7 feet tall or something. It's ridiculous, but it's a gorgeous plant and so exotic that you really need to see it. Is he on the walk?
He is on the walk. In fact,
He ought to highlight that. See the amorphous phallus.
It is highlighted in the guidebook, which everyone will receive. But more importantly, he is the only original garden exhibitor from the first garden walk in 1969.
Oh my goodness! All right. Well, Greg and Woody, how many original gardens do you have from 56 years ago?
Well, we do have one of the gardens on Dearborn. She would make the claim that she's the oldest. She's been participating for the longest time. I wouldn't say she, the first garden walk was in 1954. And I don't think she claims to have been in 54.
Last year we had one of the original gardens on.
Yes, but
they're not. They haven't been there every year. Is that what
you're
saying?
No, they rotate.
They rotate.
We're lucky. But, we're able to.
Oh, okay.
Some of them repeat every year, but some of them drop out for a year or two. Some of the homes get sold. Some of the gardens get redone for various reasons. So we're fortunate to be able to keep the numbers at 21, 22 gardens. This year we have 21 gardens, and a number of them are ones that haven't been seen for a while, and of course many of the gardens.
So for people who are aficionados, it's a chance to go back and revisit some of the gardens classics.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
Along with that, at the Sheffield Garden Walk, 1/3 or approximately 25 gardens this year are first time exhibitors, which talks to the fact that there is a new renaissance in the Sheffield neighborhood of younger people moving in. And having some interest in gardening.
Well, that's a really interesting point, that not everybody wants people to come through their gardens. I'll ask you guys, and I know Lori deals with this. How do you talk people into it, especially if they've got a beautiful garden and you say, no, you really should do this?
Well, you'd be surprised. We have a lot of the gardeners really approach us. We had a woman moved in new this last year, and she came to our meetings and wanted to exhibit. However, with the winter, they got a lot of damage, so it won't be in this year. But we do get a lot of people requesting to have their gardens on. And same last year, we had one on State. She was new to the neighborhood, younger woman, and she exhibited her garden. But the house has now already been up for sale. So that's what happens.
Yeah, and you do mention the winter and the harsh winter. How did it affect the Dearborn Gardens?
Well, we haven't heard too many complaints. Usually we do, but we haven't really heard too many. We had a few. One garden had to drop out because of the pavers buckling, and
that doesn't surprise me.
And because they had so many gardens requesting landscape companies coming in, they were unable to get it scheduled and corrected for the garden walk. So that occurred in one of the gardens.
Do you have any rules about, and I would address this to you too, Lori, about who takes care of the garden? Do they have to do it themselves? Or does it matter? It's just a beautiful garden is a beautiful garden.
Well, for the garden walk, most of the garden owners do take care of the gardens themselves.
Yeah, because it's usually right behind the, it's a small enclosed space often.
However, they do have some gardens have someone assisting them. And, of course, a lot of those homeowners are traveling, so they'll have to have someone come in and care for the garden in our absence. But basically, they are taking care of the gardens themselves.
Most of our gardens, the homeowners take care of themselves. Some of the gardens are installed by professional people, but then the homeowners themselves take care of the gardens after the installation. One of the things we do to get people to, or convince people to exhibit, is number one, show off their horticultural talents. Nobody's there to judge your garden. It's not a competition. Number two, it is a fundraiser for the neighborhood, and they move to the Sheffield neighbor for a lot of reasons. And this is the number one fundraiser that can support many of the things that make the Sheffield neighbor what it is, as far as the schools and the churches and things like that.
In the studio, that was Lori Lewis from the Sheffield Garden Walk and Music Festival. Also, Woody Olson and Greg Hodapp from the 56th annual Dearborn Garden Walk. Lots going on in the Twitter sphere there today, and on Facebook. If you have a question about gardening, 773-763-9278. I do want to ask you the musical question. Are you headed to Westfest today? It's a street fair between Damon and Wood in Chicago. It's in its second day, starting at noon and going until 10 p.m. There is something for everyone at Westfest, including top-notch live music. If that's your destination, you should stop by Christy Weber Farm and Garden at 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago to check out their great selection of, well, practically everything for the garden. But if you can't drop by today, mark your calendar for Thursday, July 17th, this coming Thursday, 6 p.m., when you can learn how to vermicompost. I was going to say vermicompost. Some people say vermicompost. I have no idea exactly what it is. With Jessica Ziegler, vermicomposting is the practice of using worms to turn your organic waste into nutrient-rich fertilizer. Why use worms? Well, for one, they're cool. They're adorable. Not only are they slimy and neat-looking, these amazing little organisms can eat up half their body weight in food every day. Using worms instead of a compost pile ensures faster composting and rich, dark fertilizer. You can find Christy Weber on Facebook. And again, as we mentioned, she's a big part of the Sheffield Garden Walk and Music Festival. You can find her on Facebook or go to CWFNG.com or spell it out, Christy Weber Farm and Garden.com. Christy Weber Farm and Garden, let them inspire you to create your own oasis.
This is Mike Novak with a message from the Illinois Hydrilla Task Force. Dense mats of aquatic plants at your favorite fishing spot or swimming hole can really get in the way of summer fun. You can help protect Illinois' lakes and streams by keeping a lookout for the aquatic superweed hydrilla. It's already been found in neighboring states and impacted boating, fishing, and water sports. To learn more, go to hydrillahunt.org and report any suspicious aquatic plants you find. Your neighbors and fellow water users will thank you. Thank you.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Hi, this is Ron Calga from Mighty House. Remember that raffle the Illinois Solar Energy Association did last year where they raffled off a car? You didn't win? That's okay. I didn't either. The ISEA had so much success with the raffle last year that they decided to do it again. But this year, you have a chance to win an all-electric Tesla Model S and a Bosch 240-volt charger for only $100. The Tesla Model S is one sweet ride and was ranked best overall car by Consumer Reports this year. To have a chance to win, go to illinoisolar.org and click on the Tesla Model S link in the top left-hand corner. You can buy one ticket for $100 or four tickets for $300. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Net proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout Illinois.
Bosch Home EV Charger will be installed for free if the winner is within 50 miles of Chicago. Drawing will take place on October 4th, 2014. There is no limit on the number of tickets that can be purchased. Need not be present to win. If less than 1,500 tickets are sold, then the drawing converts to a 50-50 drawing. Tickets are only valid if sold in the continental U.S. The winner is responsible for all taxes, title, and destination charges. See the rules and regulations page at IllinoisSolar.org for more details.
I'm Peggy, and I've got great news about Natural Awakenings Chicago. We're now available throughout the city and suburbs, from Lake County to the Indiana state line. So if your sustainable business is anywhere in Lake or Cook County, we want you to be part of our magazine. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakenings than any other magazine to help lead happier, healthier, and greener lives. If you own a green business or offer healthy living or wellness products and services, you should be working with our marketing team to get your message out to our targeted audience. Natural Awakenings is distributed in more than 1,000 Chicagoland locations, and our readers are looking for products and services just like yours. Join us, won't you? We're online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
Thought I'd play it again.
It's not easy being great.
We're coming into the home stretch here on the Mike Novak Show with Garden Walk Day. And again, if you got any out there that you're doing today, let us know. Post it on Facebook or Twitter, and happy to get the word out. Let's get back to our gentleman here in the studio. And one thing that they mentioned to me while we were in the break there, let's get the websites out. And absolutely, I agree. We need to get those websites out. So for the Dearborn Garden Walk.
Yes, for the Dearborn Garden Walk, it's www.dearborngardenwalk.com.
That's so pretty easy, Dearborn
easy
Garden Walk. And for the Sheffield?
It's sheffieldgardenwalk.com.
That's easy, too. See, it's nice that they have those nice, easy URLs. You were mentioning also that you have architectural tours
right,
as well.
Right. We have three scheduled architectural tours, and those tours are at 1:30, 3:30, and 5 p.m., and that's included with your admission. And the tours start at the Ladin Middle School, which is 45 West North Boulevard. And the Garden Walk headquarters for purchasing your admission is also at the Ladin Middle School at 45 West North Boulevard.
I want to establish something for people who are listening. The general area of the Dearborn Garden Walk is what are the boundaries?
Okay, so the Ladin Middle School would be the north boundary of the event. So the northernmost street is North Boulevard, mm-hmm. North Avenue, and then it goes south to Division, and then the west would be LaSalle, and the east is State. We would go as far as Astor, but we don't have an Astor garden this year. If people are interested in exhibiting, That's our exhibit area is uh-huh. over to Astor.
And that middle school is really, the Ladin Middle School is really on the corner of Dearborn and West
yes,
North
yes.
Avenue. So
and,
it's right there.
And with our Bee and Green theme, the Ladin Middle School is a newer building. The Ladin School is a historic school.
Right.
There is an older Ladin School, which is the lower school, which is on Dearborn. This middle school is kind of across the street at Dearborn and North Avenue. But the middle school has a green roof system, so that fits right in with our Bee and Green theme. And that green roof is exhibit as one of the 21 gardens.
Oh, great.
So this garden, you're going to take an elevator to see it. So this is the exception, an elevator to view it.
It's a beautiful view of the whole Gold Coast and the lake, and you can see out and down to Dearborn. So it's a really beautiful vista.
It's a nice way to start. You can get up on that rooftop, and you can look down Dearborn Parkway, and you get a, if you're not familiar with the neighborhood, you get a little little aerial view before you start.
I'm glad you brought that up, because you reminded me of something, which is I mentioned earlier in the show that we did my book signing at Women and Children First on Thursday, and there's going to be another one at Uncommon Ground on Devon, which also has a rooftop garden. It's actually, they call it a rooftop farm, and it's an organic rooftop farm. And that's on July 31st, which is a Thursday. So for folks who want to come to a book signing for Attack of the Killer Asparagus. Wait, Jean-Luc Picard will tell you.
Attack of the Killer Asparagus.
Thank you. That will be on the 31st of July at Uncommon Ground. And if you've never seen their rooftop farm, it's really, really very nice. How long has the Latin School had the green roof there?
You know,
about 5-6 years now.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's really beautiful. And it took a while for it to really grow in. So, of course, it's really cared for, but it's really beautiful.
And speaking of books, we have a hardcover book too. We have a hardcover coffee table book, The Gardens of Chicago's Gold Coast.
So that's available at
you can order it on the website. You can order tickets on the
website.
Can
you buy it when you come to the
I'm going to have them at the Latin Middle School.
Excellent. Laurie, what are the boundaries of Sheffield?
Sheffield boundaries are Halstead on the east, Fullerton on the north, Armitage on the south, and Greenview on the west.
And it's a fairly substantial area.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But there's a very well, easy-to-read map in the guidebook, and it's a very nice walk, especially with
weather. You have both self-guided tours and also guided tours.
Special guided tours, correct.
And what about Dearborn? Is it all self-guided or?
Well, the architectural tours are with a guide, and those tours are starting, of course, at the Latin Middle School and going down three blocks of Dearborn Parkway.
What kind of stuff are people likely to see there?
Well, of course, the street is very historic. Very, so the guide's going to point out, some of
the historical styles
and some of the historical events that have taken place and people that have lived there and
past presidents, and things like that. So it's very famous, and of course, those homes are really, really. Really beautiful and old, so it's
nothing
a very
I
interesting
could afford,
tour.
I'm sure. Yeah. So
yes, exactly. But it's
I'm a radio
very,
guy.
It's a very interesting tour, and it's and those architectural tours are really old. They're before the city even had architectural tours, so we kind of claim fame to those architectural tours. But I wanted to say too, people always ask about our tickets. Well, the proceeds from the association from the Dearborn Garden Walk go back into the community for preservation and beautification efforts, such as saving the Three Arts Club now, which has been an ongoing fight, but it has been saved now and it will be
renovated. I didn't know there was a problem with the Three Arts.
Arts Club closed a number of years back, and it's been sitting vacant, and the city has been working.
I'm out of touch.
Yes, yes.
Well, I'm glad you guys are working on that.
Yes,
that's great.
So it will be restored.
That's fabulous. All right. Well, gentlemen, all, thank you for being here, Lori.
Thank you, Mike, again.
It's always a pleasure. This is all happening next week. We've got these two great events, the 56th Annual Dearborn Garden Walk and the 46th Annual Sheffield Garden Walk and Music Festival. And again, the websites are pretty much what you'd expect. It's SheffieldGardenWalk.com and Dearborn Garden Walk. Walk.com.
That's right.
See how easy that is?
Being green.
And yeah, I know. And you guys are. And I'm always happy to have you in the studio to do that. Yeah,
thank you very much for having us.
And remind folks, as I said, that 31st of July at Uncommon Ground Restaurant. I hope that some folks will come by, and we'll be signing books for Attack of the Killer Asparagus, which just launched this past week. There will be a tour of the rooftop farm there, and 10% off dinner if you stick around. And Uncommon Ground is one of the great places in the city to have dinner. All right. It's the end of the show. We always say at this point, you guys ready in the studio and you're ready here? Go green or
go home.
Close enough.